Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Morning. You all right? Hope you are. Cecilia, hope you are. Me? Yeah, no, I'm absolutely fine. Yeah, other than the collar on my blazer was all a bit buggered up there, wasn't it? We're live. What can you do? It's live TV. Except it's not even TV. It's just the internet, isn't it? Who are you guys? You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you guys, it isn't a thing. It's now 8 in the AM British summertime on Thursday, 27th of August, in the year of our Lord 2026. August is going quick, isn't it? The whole year's going quick. Crazy. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry, as nearly always. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
This embodied voice of the omniscient, all-powerful producer there. Is he even real? He is real. Right. That's quite enough faffing about, though, isn't it? Really not necessary, all that sort of fannying around. Let's just get straight into it. What's the news? This is the news. What's the legacy corporate lamestream media banging on about this morning? What are they trying to pretend isn't or isn't important? What are they lying to us about by omission, if nothing else? What's that cabal of evil, quite frankly, evil Fleet Street editors trying to beam directly into our eyeballs and brain boxes this morning? We've got Britain's lost in the pool flood. There's been a big flood. Sorry, Harry, would you mind just checking the focus on the main camera there for me? I think it's ever so slightly out. Thanks. There's been a big flood. We'll say flood. Looks more like a landslide. Well, flood stroke landslide. Where do you... The definition of that. But anyway, a mudslide, flood in the pool, and Tibet, that region. I mean, it is monsoon season. I think it's the height of the monsoon season. And Regal has landed. What an odd way of putting that. Regal has landed. What, William Regal? No. Harry, it's... Sorry, not you, Harry. He was just in the room with the camera and I said Harry and he thought, Harry Sex Coburg and Gotha and his annoying wife and their completely innocent kids have landed back in Britain. The eagle has landed. The ginger eagle has landed. Okay, they're the main stories out of everything that's going on in the world that you could talk about. That's what they've decided to go with. The Times, the venerable Times. We'll talk about this later. It's a big one of the other big stories in the news this morning. Meta to pay $18 billion in child harm case. We'll get to it. Britain's lost in the pool flood. Yeah, I mean, some of the, if you haven't seen it, some of the images or some of the footage, it is like something out of a disaster movie. You know, sometimes you see things and it's like, that is like cinematic, like in a bad way. A cinematic that is like something from a film, it really is, you know, like 9/11 or like that that tsunami in Japan when the tide just kept coming in. So is this even real? But it is real, of course. Yeah, it just swept through so fast. There's no way you could outrun it. No way. If you was in its path, you're done. Anyway, there's at least, I mean, this says, raging waters kill at least 160 people around the Tibet border, dozens of UK citizens among hundreds missing. So this is already old because obviously they go to print last night, don't they? 160, it's way more than that already, way more. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people missing. So the death toll on this thing would probably be really reasonably higher. I mean, it came through so fast. And it looks more like a landslide, mudslide than the true flood. But okay, I mean, that's that region. It's a very, very sort of unstable region. It's interesting, actually, I've been fascinated by Everest, the Everest Massive, and all the history of people trying to climb it, even back in the 19th century. Mallory, Hillary, the 1996 disaster, on. Fascinated by it. Over the last couple of weeks, I've listened to the audiobooks of Into Thin Air and The Climb, two books about the same 1996 Everest disaster. Anyway, a lot of those books, especially The Climb, is just generally talking about Everest and Nepal and Kathmandu and the region in general, all sorts of things about it. I'm fascinated by it. In fact, I did a tweet just last night, actually, just talking about the Hillary Step, which I now know. Some clever clogs, no shade. That sounded like I'm having a pop. I'm not. Some clever clogs. Well done. On Twitter said, the Hillary Step's not there even anymore. There was a earthquake in 2015 and a bunch of the rocks, the boulders, fell off. Literally, quite literally fell off. Where the Hillary Step used to be this 40-foot sheer rock face. Now it's like a 15-foot boulder thing now. You can just scramble over it. You don't need fixed ropes or anything. Anyway, Nepal, the Nepal region. It's very, very, very dangerous place. It's a dangerous place, you know, like geologically speaking, you know, there's all sorts of things that can catch you out. And well, anyway, the footage of this is remarkable. I mean, have we got, is there any footage even? Let's see if we can get, okay, you can look it up in your own time, but, well, you see 800 on the website, that's obviously a bit more up to date, 800 missing in Nepal. They fear a lot more. Look, that comes sweeping through. So it's not just water. There'll be massive rocks and stuff in that. So it's not just like you get swept away. Or if you're a really strong swimmer, you might be all right. No, you'll be battered and crushed. Terrible. I mean, let's see if this... A bit of clip.
Standing in front of this hospital tonight in Kathmandu, it is clear that the disaster is still unfolding. Survivors are being brought here.
Okay.
Officials are describing the destruction as beyond imagination. Entire settlements have been hit, roads have been ripped apart, bridges swept away, and key infrastructure badly damaged along one of Nepal.
Okay, they're not showing the thing, but you can look it up in your own time. But yeah, well, terrible if you were there. Terrible for you there. That's probably the main story in the British news cycle today. Royal return, Harry and Meghan land back in UK after 6 years away. What happens next? Don't care what happens next. I would like to tell you what I'd like to happen next is that they don't report on them constantly. That's what I'd like to happen next. But constantly tell me what Meghan and Harry are doing or saying or haven't done and said. Please, they won't. They're obsessed with them. Obsessed with them. Dozens of Britons among hundreds missing as devastating flash floods hit Nepal. Right. Okay, here's another story. Probably the other main story today. Meta agrees. $17 billion. I've seen it reported other places. $18 billion. I always think that's weird when they report something like that and the numbers aren't exactly right. I don't want to be too much of a pedant. I'm going to be too pedantic about it. But sorry, is it 17 or is it $18 billion? One or the other. Like, it's $1 billion difference. It's not nothing. Anyway. Meta agrees $17 billion payout over claim its tech harms children. So basically the story is Meta was being taken to court by like 29 different US states. The state were taking them to court. And Zuck himself would have to testify in these cases. What did Zuck know and when? Because the allegations are he knew. He had internal Meta data analysis research showing that it did harm the mental health of children. That he knew that ahead of time, wasn't doing anything about it. Or in fact, even covering it up. He'd have to testify in court. So in order to not have to do that, he's settled out of court. They've decided to basically settle out of court with all these 29 states, to the tune of $17 or $18 billion. So Mr. Zuckerberg doesn't have to face cross-examination. But also, as well as part of that, in the US at least, they'll have to change the way they do business, basically. Was it things like, if you're under 18, you can only have a certain number of hours a day on it. Like no notifications during school hours. You can't use it at night. You know, relatively drastic things. I mean, drastic, it depends how you look at it. But, you know. But just a complete unfettered free access to things like Facebook and Instagram for under 18s in the US coming to an end. company to implement major changes to restrict use of Facebook and Instagram for under 18s to settle landmark case against brought by 29 US states. There you go. I mean, all right. The Guardian. Ooh. The Guardian. Still talk about Dolly. Dear old Dolly. Poor old Dolly. She's in a better place. PM drops support for donations cap after lobbying from unions. So, Andy Bumham, Kim King Andy, the first of his name, with his guyliner, a mascara. He was talking about how he wanted to, well, not just talking about how there is a bill, even before he was Prime Minister, to reform some of the detail around how politics is done. What was it called? The, I can't remember what it's called. That writing's too small for me these days. Some sort of Act of Parliament. To reform some of the things around, well, all sorts of elements of our business, the business of politics. One element of which was funding, campaign funding, which of course we do things very differently here, don't we, compared to the US. In the US, there's you can spend a lot of money on your campaign if you want to. Well, we don't have that. There's all sorts of limits, and anyway, they wanted to limit it even further in some ways. It's actually a little bit complicated. When you drill down into it, it's a little bit complicated because there's all sorts of different rules for different things, put it that way. One of the things was about unions. There's raising money just yourself. There's just spending your own private money should you be a very rich person. There's taking donations from foreign people. Okay. One of the things was about taking money from unions. And as part of the bill, was going to try and cap that. Which is odd for the Labour Party to do that. But okay, apparently they were going to. Well, Andy Bumham now has had a bit of pressure from the unions. And he says he's going to backtrack on that. He's not going to do that now. That's a surprise. How surprising. PM drops support for donations cap after lobbying from unions. Donations capped from unions. Anyone who doesn't know, and might be foreign or very young perhaps. Labour, the Labour Party, get loads of their money from unions. They're completely sort of formally affiliated with a bunch of unions. It's not just that, like, they're buddies, they're long-term buddies, and it's just a handshake, even going back to the 1920s or whatever. No, it's a formal, like, affiliation thing. Like, even in certain circumstances, when Labour pick a new leader, the unions get a vote in certain circumstances. You know, like in the Ed Miliband one they did. In this Burnham one, they didn't, because enough parliamentary Labour Party, enough MPs voted for Andy. So it needn't even go to the membership or the unions. Anyway, the unions give Labour loads of money. I mean, millions and millions of pounds every time there's an election. Millions. 2 million here, 5 million there. You think, oh, that's a bit unfair. So all the other parties don't get that. Yeah, that's how that works. That's how that little stitch-up works. That little cabal. Anyway, again, it's surprising to me, in the first instance, that Labour were thinking about putting a cap on that. Well, the unions have come to them and said, don't do that. And Andy Bowen's gone, okay, I won't do that. Couldn't have seen that coming. Because the unions, you might think, oh, won't the unions like not want to necessarily pay millions of pounds? Well, that's their power, though, isn't it? That's their power. Whilst the Labour Party rely on the unions to some degree, to a large degree, for funding, well, then the unions have got the Labour Party over a barrel, haven't they? That's their power. Quite a real bit of power there, really, isn't it? They don't want to give that up. They don't want a cap on that. Oh, goddamn lefties. Ugh. They can't stop cheating, can they, lefties? It's in their DNA to cheat. Okay, Meta to pay $17 billion to end social media lawsuit. Yeah, just bring it to an end. And imagine Zuck's lawyers coming to him. You can go on trial 29 different times. Or you could just pay $17 billion and it's done with. And change like the nature of Facebook for under 18s. Could do that. And he's obviously gone, oh good, okay. Hundreds feared dead in Nepal flash floods. They're terrible. Terrible. If he was in the way of it. It's so fast. It's so fast. If you see that footage from the Japan tsunami, it wasn't that fast. Well, different places, different times, it was faster than others. But largely, if you reacted quick enough, you could have got out of the way of it. Possibly, quite probably. It wasn't like this giant tidal wave moving at 80 miles an hour. It wasn't that. It was like the tide was coming in quickly. It was like the tide was coming in and it just didn't stop coming in. If you reacted quickly, as long as you weren't infirmed, or certainly if you had a car, and there's sirens wailing because they knew the earthquake had happened out at sea an hour or more before, you could have got out of the way of that. This, no chance. No chance. That's terrifying, isn't it? Terrifying. All right, the Metro. Ooh. The Metro. Absolute pure subversive anti-white slop. You ever look in the Metro? How anti-white it is. It's this weird out-group fetish for anyone that's brown in it. Weird. Weird. Brits among almost 600 lost in the Nepal flood. See, they just don't know the numbers. They just don't know the numbers. Look, just whole buildings just like ripped apart. Tourists vanish in deadly surge. If you ever go to the Nepal region, be careful. That's all I would say. There's loads of stories of... Well, they're saying, actually, have a quick look, they're saying it might be a glacial thing. Let me just quickly find on one of the other websites for you. Well, on the Mail, they say... Tsunami from the sky with 200 meter high waves was sparked by glacier. There you go. Sparked by a glacier, obviously much higher up in the mountains, dumping 20 million cubic meters of water. As images showed, devastation beyond imagination. 20 million cubic meters of water from up on high in a glacial region. But you know that when that comes down, it will take loads more material with it. And by the time it hits like a town or city, it's just like this unstoppable storm of boulders moving really fast. I mean, yeah, no chance. No chance of outrunning it. You'd barely be able to drive away from it, especially through sort of the winding cities of some Nepalese village. No, no, no. If you're in its path, you're done. Yeah, and a few of them are saying it's like a glacial... A glacier, if the glacier broke off, or if there was like a barrier, if there was like a, what do they call it, like a lake at high altitude, it's a lake that's being held, there's like an ice barrier that's holding a lake in place, and for whatever reason that ice barrier breaks or falls away, and all the water in this lake goes. Alright, let's carry on with the papers. The Daily Mail, pure subversive slop. This woman asks, was it that she put on so much weight? Did that contribute to her breast cancer? Over 30 Britons missing in Nepal flash flooding. Fears grow over for tourists after huge torrent of destruction. Okay. Harry and Meghan, they're back. Back in black. Don't sing it, Bo. Don't sing Back in Black. Yes, I'm back. Okay. Without taxpayer funding security for now. Maybe you can ask Elton John to pay for it. Maybe just don't go out much. Stay on Royal Estates. How about that? I'm not interested in seeing you out. You want to go to Ascot or something? Travel with other royals that have got security already. Maybe do that. Travel within their entourage. Why don't you hang around with your uncle, Andrew? Okay. All right. The Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph, Zionist slop now, that seems to hate this country for some reason. Germany in talks to fund Trident. This is quite interesting to me, relatively interesting. Berlin looks to invest in UK's nuclear defence under plans to end Europe's reliance on US. I doubt that will happen, but it's an interesting story anyway. Really doubt that will happen, but the Americans would not be happy with that, would they? Trident being our Britain's nuclear deterrent. Well, the missiles that the nuclear warheads are on, right? That we just buy from the United States. The Germans could fund it. Germans not allowed nukes, even to this day, not allowed. Okay, all right. Yeah, like that bridge just swept away in the footage. Steel bridge, relatively big steel bridge just swept away. Okay. See, here's the number. Meta to pay $13 billion. What is it? And boost child safety in big tobacco moment. Yeah, it could be, that's not a bad analogy. You know, like big tobacco, when finally, after years and years and years of people saying, smoking does give people cancer and emphysema and stuff, and it's really bad, and damages your health in loads of other ways as well, and throat cancer, mouth cancer, whatever, loads of things. And the big tobacco go, no, it doesn't, no, it doesn't, no. Look, we've paid for loads of research that shows that it doesn't. And in the end, it was just purely undeniable. There's enough sort of big cases brought against them, which would have been slammed or were slam dunk cases. Like you, the tobacco companies, you encouraged me my whole life to smoke and told me it wasn't dangerous, but it is, and now I'm dying or whatever. Somebody in my family has died from it, and you said it wasn't dangerous, but it is. And then Big Tobacco had to finally concede. This is all in the 90s, 1990s. Had to finally concede, and then change. Like to this day, if you ever buy cigarettes or tobacco, it's just most of the packet. It's just a massive sign saying, remember, smoking will kill you. You're not allowed to have tobacco advertising on loads of things, like in Formula One. Formula One cars used to have loads of tobacco advertising on it. Like Ferrari had Marlboro, didn't they? Or like Williams had like William Hill or whatever. Or no, Camel. Williams had Camel. Well, anyway, yeah, you're just not allowed that. Like loads of places, loads of public things, like a big foot, you know, well, most sports things. You won't see many or any like billboards in the background that the camera might see with tobacco stuff on it. Is this sort of a big tobacco moment for social media, or for Meta at least? In the news a bit, it was Meta saying, so it was Zuckerberg saying, oh, also TikTok do it as well. TikTok are bad too. Classic. Maccabee police chief in misconduct hearing. Do you remember that a year ago or so? Or was it longer ago? I can't remember. Maccabee Tel Aviv, an Israeli football team, had come to Birmingham. Was it? Yeah, it was Birmingham, yeah. To play a football game. And all the Muslims of Birmingham went berserk. And the police of Birmingham, the white police of Birmingham, just sided with the Muslim mob. And refused to let the Maccabee Tel Aviv team into Birmingham and play that match. Make of that what you will. Oh, and the police chief that did that, he was taken, like they brought him before like a select committee, didn't they? Remember that? He eventually lost his job And he doubled down on it, saying, no, I did nothing wrong. I'd do it again, if anything. Well, now he is actually in the midst of a misconduct inquiry. Is it the police's job, despite what your feelings are about Israel and Tel Aviv, Maccabi Tel Aviv Football Club, it's not a great precedent, is it, if a mob comes out on the street, an Islamic mob, any mob really, and they're demanding something, and the police just go, okay, yeah, we're going to do that. It's not a great precedent, is it? Great precedent. Because there's nothing by the letter of the law, nothing in the law saying Maccabi Tel Aviv couldn't or shouldn't play that football game. I say, regardless of your feelings about Israel. There's nothing unlawful about that football team playing a game at Aston Villa. I think it was at Villa Park, wasn't it? Anyway. But this mob came out and said, and stopped it. And the police capitulated to them. Not ideal, is it? Harper killers, hero police officer Harper, his killers to stay in jail, suggests minister. They can't make up their mind on that, can you? Can they? They don't seem to be able to make up their mind. Come to a firm decision one way or the other on that. It just keeps vacillating back and forward, doesn't it? They will be let out. The government can't do anything about it. They won't be let out. We insist they won't be let out, but they are going to be let out. Ministers can't do anything about it. Ministers are going to have to do something about it. Oh, Tim Curry's died. Oh, Tim Curry. Young people. Harry, do you know Tim Curry?
I don't know.
Feel old yet? So Tim Curry, the actor, was in loads of stuff. Really good actor. Liked Tim Curry. He was in that one. They've got, for some reason, I've got a lot of pictures of him. He was in the Rocky Horror Show, a film, The Rocky Horror Show, where he does play like a transvestite type dude. So of course, the Globo Homo media definitely thousands and thousands. Tens of thousands of possible images of Tim Curry, a career that lasted decades and decades and decades. They pick the one when he's dressed up as a freak tranny. There's one film he was in where he did that. If you didn't know him, like you have if you were young, if you didn't know him, you might think, oh, why are we celebrating the death of this weirdo? It was one film he was in. He usually plays like some sort of posh, urbane gentleman type figure most of the time. Anyway, yeah, he's dead. He's died. Shame. He was good. Liked Tim Curry. Funny dude. He'd been very ill for a long time though, hadn't he? Very ill. I think he'd had a stroke or more than one stroke, like a few years back even, and he was like in a wheelchair. Like couldn't speak properly. He hadn't been in a good place for a long time. Poor old Tim Curry. Anyways, finally, he's finally died. Rest in peace, Tim Curry. Again, he's in a better place, almost certainly. All right. The Express, the Daily Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. If you must. Pure globalist slop. Cynically trying to pretend it's patriotic or nativist in any way. It's not. It's not. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Girl 13 among dozens of Britons missing in devastating floods. Dolly Parton, dear old Dolly, she's gone. Campaigners warn older people will have to take, quote, drastic action, quote, as energy bills rise. What, put a sweater on, put a woolly on? I shouldn't downplay it. Britain's OAPs facing dire winter, as bills set to go up by 4%, said. Yeah, our energy sector. in all sorts of disarray. But then, you know, you talk about something like this, the real reality of some old people that haven't got a great deal of money, struggling to pay their bills, might even end up not being able to, and then freezing to death in winter. It's not uncommon. You might think, oh, calm down, that's a massive exaggeration, that's not going to happen. It does happen every year. Every year, that happens. Yeah. You say that to eco people that insist we can't drill in the North Sea. What do they say to that? They don't care. They're just like, yeah, that's really bad. Anyway, my insane ideology. Anyway, let's keep going with the insane ideology that makes no sense when you put it under a tiny bit of scrutiny. When you scratch the surface of the reasoning of it, it makes no sense whatsoever. Anyway, just let the old people freeze to death. I don't care. The ideologically captured eco-types don't care about that. All right, they decide, what sloppy joke. Look, they decide to put that picture of Tim Curry in Rocky Horror Show. Honestly, thousands of images of him looking great in like a suit. No, that one. The Rocky Horror Show from like 50 years ago or whatever it was. 40-year-old film, whatever it is. Harry and Meg and kids in UK. Regal has landed. What do you mean Regal has landed? What does that mean? Regal has landed. That's not proper English. That's not. What kind of sentence is that? Regal has landed. Yeah, the Daily Star. Regal has landed. Idiots. All right, the Mirror. Labour Party organ, the Mirror. Still going with Dolly. Singer died surrounded by loved ones after brief secret cancer battle. She made you feel at the centre of the world. She did buy into the vaccine hoax, though. Two held after house blaze. Gang revenge fears over the deaths. Yeah, this is a slightly odd one. There's this house fire in Middlesbrough. Start at the beginning. Do you remember? Earlier in the week, or was it on Sunday when it actually happened, but it was reported earlier in the week. There was that car of five lads in Middlesbrough that were in a police chase around suburbia, then took it onto a dual carriageway, went down the wrong way of a dual carriageway, crashed headlong into a police car coming the other way, and all seven people involved in that died. Remember that? Well, now in Middlesbrough, there's been a house fire. Two people died in it. A 7-year-old girl and her auntie, a 30-something-year-old auntie, died in this house fire. And the corporate lamestream media are saying that these incidents are linked in some way to do with like, gang warfare. They keep saying today, police believe, or it seems to be, that it's linked. They're not saying exactly how it's linked. Like a revenge. They're linked and it's revenge. Okay. Revenge, I mean, what do you mean? Revenge for what? What's going on? I'm a bit murky at the moment. Maybe all the details will emerge, but... Gang revenge fears over fire deaths. Just a house fire. They are saying it was set deliberately. Cops probe link between A66 crash and quote-unquote murders of Girl 7 and her aunt. Well, you know, in some of the other headlines, some of the other main websites, they're saying Middlesbrough is like a tinderbox at the moment. Middlesbrough could explode with all sorts of gang violence now. It's like a counter-revenge for this revenge. Wait, what revenge? It was five kids, young men, drove the wrong way down a road and crashed into a cop car. What revenge? What's going on? Anyway. Well, there's obviously a lot more there, isn't there, than what the media's actually reporting. Okay. Two poor people, almost certainly... Oh, I was going to say almost certainly innocent. Of course, the little girl is. Who knows what that aunt... They're not saying. Is that aunt to do with something? Is she wrapped up in the nefarious gang? I doubt it. Well, I don't know, sorry. I'll leave it at that. I don't know what on earth all this is and what's going on there. But they're saying Middlesbrough is some sort of like gangland tinderbox at the moment. All right, I guess we'll watch this space. The FT, the Financial Times, they go with the thing in the pool, of course. Burnham battles budget jitters with pledge to take pressure off business, focus on growth rate, wealth creators backed, closer ties with EU, need for social responsibility. Oh, it's all so tiresome, isn't it? It's just all so very, very tiresome. Focus on growth rate. Maybe stop flooding us with low-skilled people that become dependent on the state. Maybe try and reduce the insane amount of welfare we pay. The insane amount that's spent daily on the NHS to try and treat the extra millions of extra people that are here. Try and reduce borrowing to pay for all of that. Would that help growth? Not going to do any of that. More safe and legal routes, if anything. More third world barbarians, unvetted fighting age barbarians, if anything. Okay. But you're focused on growth. Are you focused on growth? You're not focused on growth. You're focused on flooding us with foreign people for some insane suicidal reason. You're not focused on growth. Don't pretend you're focused on growth. The iPaper. I go with the social media thing. Social media addiction. Tech giant pays $17 billion over child harm. Facebook and Instagram chief Mark Zuckerberg saved from testifying in trial after firm's whistleblower gives evidence that the tech chief knew of harm caused to children. What did the Zuck know and when? His firm, Meta, is accused of deliberately targeting teenagers with product features as addictive as cigarettes or online casinos, despite links to severe mental health problems. Nice. Well done. Social media group denies allegations, but must change apps in US to protect American children with two-hour daily limits, nighttime block, and no notifications in school hours. Campaign, I thought the United States was the land of the free. It's the land of the heavily restricted. Okay. Campaigners are inspired by legal playbook used against big tobacco in the 1990s. I mean, it's probably for the best, though. I mean, as I say, I have a little swipe there. Probably for the best, though, isn't it? If it's that bad. I mean, other than Twitter, I don't go on social media very much at all. Well, at all, really. I'm not on Facebook, haven't been for years. I haven't got a Twitter or I haven't got an Instagram or TikTok. Got no intention of getting one. If it is that bad for kids, it's that addictive and it's that sort of damaging, maybe it's for the best. Campaigners are inspired. Oh, yeah, okay, there. No pledge to make apps safer in UK, as Meta calls on TikTok and rivals to also change. Classic. Hey, look, guys, also TikTok, also they're doing it as well. Mark Zuckerberg is some sort of evil douchebag, though, isn't he? Some sort of robot, evil robot, man. The Sun. After A66 horror cop crash, Valentina, 7, innocent victim of joyrider gang war. It's a gang war. They're burning down houses with little kids in them. What? Schoolgirl and aunt die in house blaze. Two held for murder as feud spirals. There's a gang war feud in Middlesbrough. Burning down houses with people with little kiddies in the house. What? Hey. They're the increasingly concerning front pages of the British print media today. Should we check in on the price of crude? We do that on the show, don't we? Do it about this time of the show. Okay. If you wanted to buy or sell a barrel of Brent crude on the open market, it's going to cost you a shade over $87. It's remarkably low, isn't it, for a six-month war in the Persian Gulf and the Straits of Hormuz being closed, effectively, on and off, largely. If you wanted to buy or sell a barrel of West Texas, $81. about the price when this war started. Remarkable. Remarkable. All right, let's have a look at our poll. We do our poll this time of the show, don't we? Have a quick look. Harry, if you bring that up for me, if you wouldn't mind, sir. All right. We asked you guys... Oh, about my holiday. I think we asked you a similar one, very similar one before, but I wanted to sort of check and find out, because it's getting close. It's probably be late September. It's not that far away, is it? We asked you guys, when Bo goes on holiday, it is when, not if. When Bo goes on holiday, what would you prefer? No Bo show or Dan Tubb, Big Danny T, covering the Bo show? 91, a cool 91% of you say you would rather the Tubster. Big Danny T, oh Danny boy, to cover the Bo show instead of no Bo show. All right, noted. We'll see what we can do. Might not, it still might not happen. That's no guarantee that's what's going to happen, but we'll see what we can do. And it probably will be in sort of late September time. So just a week, I think. It'll just be a week. But be prepared. There you go. Okay. Thanks for voting on that. Well over 800 people voted on that. Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Let's have a look at... There was one or two other stories of note in that are on the websites that aren't on the front pages. There was one I thought was of note. Let me find it. Oh, poor old Tim Curry. Here we go. Does the name Khalid Sheikh Mohammed mean anything to you? Ever heard that name? I won't ask Harry. I'm not having a pop at Harry or anything. But older people. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Ringing any bells? Supposed to have been the mastermind behind 9/11. One of Bin Laden's right-hand men. Up there with Ayman al-Zawahiri. Apparently, he's going to go on trial. It's not a normal trial. It's like a military tribunal. They've held him in Gitmo Bay. He's been in Guantanamo Bay for 20 years plus. They captured him in like 2003, I think. Whacked him in Gitmo. He's been there ever since. Why hasn't he gone on trial yet? Good question. That's a good question. Anyway, let's read a bit of this. I find it interesting. Alleged mastermind of 9/11 will finally head to trial, a military judge. Declares nearly 25 years after terror attacks. Now, this September will be 25 years. It was like yesterday. Well, not yesterday, but... It doesn't seem that long ago, but... 25 years, God. Is that how fast 25 years goes? Ooh, concerning. All right. The man accused of masterminding the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks will finally face trial in 2028. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and three of his alleged co-conspirators have been held at Guantanamo Bay since the early 2000s as the trial for allegedly planning the heinous attack repeatedly got delayed. There are all sorts of reasons. Whether perfectly legit reasons or not, but there are all sorts of reasons. The Americans just didn't sit on it for no reason at all. Just hopefully he's going to die of old age before they have to go to trial. It wasn't exactly that, but... complicated thing. Anyway, all right. Government prosecutors had since requested to bring the case against Mohammed, Walid bin Attash, and Mustafa al-Harazawi and Amar al-Baluchi to trial in January 2027. But Judge Lieutenant Colonel Michael Schramer rejected the bid on Wednesday. He instead set a trial date for June the 5th, 2028. Okay, completely arbitrary, seems to me, but all right. Noting it is contingent on both prosecutors and the defence meeting a series of deadlines or milestones. All of this is according to the New York Times. It goes on to outline what the trial will be like a bit. This guy. Yeah, he was captured in 2003. Where? Afghanistan, the cave network of Tora Bora in Afghanistan. In Saudi Arabia, perhaps. In Egypt, maybe. Where a lot of the... No, Pakistan. Pakistan. Where Bin Laden was finally caught as well. Pakistan. These are his co-defendants. Look at the state of these. That one, he looks a bit musical, doesn't he? He looks a bit fruity. Okay. Apparently, finally, now the prosecutors have got, like, their case together, it seems, in order to show, prove beyond a doubt, that he did, in fact, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was, in fact, indeed behind it all. Well, not exactly the prime mover in it, but got the nuts and bolts of it organised and done. Seems like Bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri were, the ultimate mastermind behind it. We know what happened to Bin Laden, don't we? Or what the US military told us happened to Bin Laden. Can we have proof of his body? No, we've already dumped it at sea. Huh. Okay. Be nice to have sort of completely undeniable, to shut up all the conspiracy theorists. Let's just have some absolute 100% slam dunk proof that what you said happened is that you've actually got a dead body that definitely is Osama bin Laden. No, we dumped it at sea already. Oh. Odd. Ayman al-Zawahiri, what happened to him? He got shredded to bits by a US bomb. He was a real scumbag, though. And if you believe everything we told about him. There's this particular type of quite new, relatively new piece of ordnance, a bomb, where it drops out of the sky. I can't remember what it's called now. Drops out of the sky, and as it gets level with you, just as it gets level with you, it blows up, and it's not like a conventional explosion. Well, it's a little bit of a conventional explosion, but it's not just like some giant explosion. The warhead bit blows off, and it just fires loads of blades. It's like something out of... That is like something out of it. It fires loads of blades at you. Or it'll come down through the roof of your car, and in between piercing through the roof of your car and going through the bottom of your car, in that instant, it just fires out blades in all directions. Yeah. Obviously shredding anyone in the immediate vicinity, but keeping... The idea is, to keep collateral damage down. Anyway, the intelligence services... It was in Afghanistan. I think it was in Kabul, even. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was in Afghanistan. Ayman al-Zawahiri, they knew. He's an old man, really old man. And this is only in the early 2020s. It was in the Biden years, in 2021 or something. They'd been watching. They knew he was living in this apartment, in like a high-rise building in Kabul. They knew that every morning, they just watched him for ages and ages and ages. They knew nearly every morning, he'd come out onto the balcony of his cup of tea or his coffee or whatever it was. Nearly every morning, he'd come out onto his balcony and take a bit of fresh air. One morning, I got him. Interesting. I mean, all right. 9/11, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is finally going to actually be put on trial for what he allegedly did, and some of his co-conspirators. These. Ugh. Gross, filth. Right, let's do on this day in history. It's now nearly 10 to 9. I quite like this bit. You quite seem to quite don't mind me doing this bit. Down through the centuries, nay millennia. What happened of note? August the 27th. Let's have a little look-see, shall we? Do you remember the other day, a few days ago, we talked about Thermopylae? Thermopylae came up. Well, now, famously, after that, the Greeks won a double victory, one on land and one at sea, according to the likes of like Herodotus, on the same day. Whether it really was the same day is something else, but the official story is on the same day, the 27th of August, that the Greeks won a naval battle at Mycale. Don't know how to pronounce that, probably failing to pronounce that correctly, badly. And also Plataea, a battle on the land. Beat the Persians 1-2 punch, 1-2 combo in the year 479 BC. Oh, okay. Next one I don't really know anything about. Sitting on this day in the year 663 BC, there was a battle of Bakgang. The Tang Chinese and Silla Korean forces defeat Bakjay Korean forces and their Yamato Japanese allies on the Guem River in Korea, the last Japanese invasion of Korea for 900 years. Couldn't tell you any detail about that, I'm afraid. It's not my wheelhouse. Sorry. All right. Much more in my wheelhouse, though. On this day, in 1789, the French National Assembly issues the Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen. Know all about that. Do you think on my history theme show, which is called Bode's Epochs, which is behind the paywall on lotuseaters.com, if you're interested in that, you can head over to lotuseaters.com. Consider signing up, becoming a member. It's for as little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership. You could even only do it for 1 month and then give it a whirl. £5, bronze tier membership. Then you get access to everything behind the paywall for bronze tier membership. It's actually, as far as membership tiers go, Lotus Eaters is really generous in that sense. Really generous. Like, oh, you only get access to everything if you're a gold tier member. No, no. You get loads of other stuff if you're silver or gold. But if you just want the hundreds, nay, thousands of hours of content been built up over more than 5 years on lotuseaters.com. If you want access to all of that, £5 a month. I mean, I'm up to episode 280-odd on my history theme show, Epochs. Each one's at minimum 50 minutes, very often well over an hour, very often an hour and a half, sometimes longer. 280-odd of those. So quite literally and without exaggeration, hundreds of hours of history theme content with yours truly. Do you think on there, I talk all about the French Revolution? Yeah. I do. So this is the thing, the actual tennis court oath was earlier, wasn't it? That's like in earlier in the summer. It's in June or something, isn't it? The tennis court oath. When the National Assembly brings itself into being. And then eventually they get around to it. I say eventually, it's relatively quick, I suppose, in the scheme of things. They publish their Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen. Basically them saying, this is what we think, this is what we want. Very, very important document. Heavily influenced by the likes of Rousseau. To a lesser extent, Voltaire. Interesting document. Okay. Could talk about, I'd happily just talk about the French Revolution for the next hour here, but can't, must move on. I'm recording another Epoch today, so again, I can't be here till sort of 9:30, 9:45. I'll continue my series on Constantine the Great. Anyone who's been watching that, that's a bit where he's basically sole ruler of the West. Well, there can only be one emperor, so he's got to take on the Eastern Roman world. Eastern Roman emperors and defeat them. There can be only one MacLeod. There can be only one Constantine. So I've got to record that later this morning. So I can't be here for ages. Let's carry on here then. Krakatoa. On this day in 1883, Krakatoa, the volcano, erupted. It's located west of Java in Indonesia. And it erupts with a force of 200 megatons of TNT, killing approximately 36,000 people. Imagine how berserk the legacy corporate mainstream media would go if something like that happened today. I mean, history's littered with things like this. But that's massive. That is massive. Krakatoa is, you know, I think to this day it's still the biggest volcanic eruption in sort of modern recorded times. Right, it threw up so much ash and pumice and particulate matter into the atmosphere that it affected the whole world's weather system for a while, quite a while. On the other side of the world, in Europe, like the summers weren't as warm because so much sunlight was blocked out by the ash and pumice and things in the atmosphere. That's how big it was. That's how powerful volcanoes can be. Krakatoa. Read a book about it or watch a video or something about it if you're interested. It is interesting. All right, on this day in 1928, the Kellogg-Briand Pact. If you ever do 20th century history, actually study at A-level or undergrad or anything, you will come across the Kellogg-Briand Pact. 60 nations agree to condemn the, quote, recourse to war for the solution of international controversies, quote. How'd that work out for you? Good intentions, though, to be fair. Good intentions. It's like after World War One, right? Woodrow Wilson and lots of people say, let's never do this again. That was horrific. That was like an all-time horrific thing, World War One. Let's not do that again. Let's put things in place to prevent that ever happening from again. Like, let's have, a League of Nations so we can always figure things out and we, you know, something like that will never happen again. The Americans didn't join. It's fundamentally flawed, the League of Nations. The Americans didn't join it. It didn't have enough teeth. It didn't have any real power to stop countries from doing stuff. Kellogg-Briand Pact is basically in the same vein. Lots of countries get together saying, let's not have no more brother worlds. Let's not ever do a World War One thing again. How are you going to enforce that? Don't know. So good intentions, something like the League of Nations or the Kellogg-Briand Pact, but what can you do? When you get a belligerent country, like, you know, the classic example is Japan, Imperial Japan in the 20s and 30s. The rest of the world say, stop doing that. Stop like invading Korea. Talk about invading Korea. Stop invading Korea and China, would you? And they're like, no, shan't. What are you going to do? You can go to a full-blown war with us, but you're not going to do that. So you can throw the League of Nations, the spectre of the League of Nations or the Kellogg-Briand Pact in our face. We're going to ignore that, okay? We're just ignoring that. What next? What now? The Kellogg-Briand Pact. Okay, on this day in 1975, Lord Louis Mountbatten, the first Earl of Mountbatten of Burma, last Viceroy of India, wasn't he? And wasn't he the Duke of Edinburgh's dad? Or was he his uncle? Anyway, Lord Louis Mountbatten, cousin of Queen Elizabeth II and last Viceroy of India. Oh, there you go. He was the last Viceroy of India. Is killed along with three companions. Say killed. He's murdered. With three companions, two of whom are children. The other one was a little old lady. Really little old lady. By the IRA when his boat is blown up near Sligo Island. Oh. What, had Lord Mountbatten been taking the war to the IRA, had he? No? He's just a symbol to them of, like, evil Brits. Mountbatten had been personally organising, like, the SAS to do assassination hits on the IRA. No, nothing like that, no. He just represented to them the British establishment. So with him, a little old lady and two little kids blew him to pieces. A war hero, Mountbatten. A war hero. World War II hero. Very, very, very senior member of the royal family. Completely unrepentant about it, the IRA. Even years later, they asked Martin McGuinness, after the Good Friday Agreement, when we're all supposed to be friends again, make the Queen shake Martin McGuinness's hand. Thanks, Blair. Asked Martin McGuinness, like, You got any sort of qualms about murdering Mountbatten? They were just like, no. He was an imperialist. He was a British imperialist. Got what he deserved. Huh. Okay. On this day in 2008, US Senator Barack Obama becomes the first African-American to be nominated by a major political party for President of the United States by the Democratic Party. Well done. Yeah, he'd done a great job, didn't he, as well? He'd done a great job in power. Yeah, definitely wasn't divisive. Sure. Well done. Barry Obama and Big Mike. Barry and Mike. Yeah, great. All right. Someone in the chat says it wasn't the IRA. It was. It definitely was. MI5 took over the IRA in 1972. Did they? All right. Let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. I can't look at the chat. It's too distracting. All right. Is it going to be a good day? Global church history in at number one. Yes, he is. Reigning, defending, and still. Right. Here's two factoids today. You say, today in 410, the sacking of Rome came to an end after 3 days. Okay, well, that's the same Alaric, isn't it? Alaric the Goth and the Visigoths. Alaric and his Visigoths sacking Rome in 410. Yeah, just a mere 3 days worth of sacking. Yeah, that's what people always talk about, historians and scholars. always talk about with that one. How, to what extent did Alaric and his Goths really, like, was Rome fubar'd by that? Or was it, as far as sackings go, relatively light touch? Is it possible to do a light touch sacking? Once you let men, barbarians, warriors, into a city, is there any way to restrain them, at least for a while? You know, they're not like modern troops like the Duke of Wellington in the early 19th century, where you've got provosts and you've got all sorts of things in place to actually stop the men at a certain point from going too berserk. Alaric wouldn't have had anything like that. So could it have been a light touch sacking of Rome? Well, anyway. Okay. Oh, and the second factoid, you say, this day is also the feast of St. Monica, the mother of St. Augustine. Oh, I don't know about that. You've out history broed me there, bro. Although, you talk about St. Augustine of Hippo or St. Augustine of Canterbury. I don't know the names of either of their mothers. So you could be talking about either. There's two St. Augustines of note in history, as far as an English person's concerned, anyway. St. Augustine of Hippo is sort of the more important one, theologically, I suppose. More people would have heard of that one. But St. Augustine of Canterbury, you're talking about that one. Anyway, thanks for the Global Church History does say Hippo. Okay. There you go. Okay, cool. All right. The next two are from the same person. TF2 is better. Says, morning, Bo, you all right? Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, I'm all good. Hope you're all good too. Says, what's your thoughts and feelings on the TV license? Specifically how it's collected, i.e. by constant harassment and threats of fines or prison. And the second one you put, I read 1 in 8 court cases are TV licensing, and about 75% of those are women, single mums most likely. Yeah, how do I feel about that? What's my thoughts and feelings on that? Well, I wrote an article a fair few years ago now on LotusEaters.com. It's like one of my first 10 articles I wrote. And I called it, We Need to Talk About Auntie. Because the BBC used to refer to it, doesn't do it very much anymore. I can't remember the last time I said it. Used to refer to itself as Auntie, didn't it? Like Auntie's TV bloopers, Auntie's sporting bloopers. The Beeb was like an auntie in your home. Kindly auntie in the corner of your room. Benevolent. I said, we need to talk about Auntie. And in that article, I said, destroy it. Strip it of its royal charter. Strip it of any ability it would have to extort money out of people. It's an extortion ring. It's gangsterism, and it's a racket, an extortion racket. That's all it is, in my opinion. And now, and that's always been the case, but now it's pure subversive globalist slop as well. Anti-British, anti-white as well. Get rid of it. It's up to me. In Bo's Britain, I end the BBC. I end it. Not in, people say, oh yeah, no, you're right. It's not that the BBC isn't bad or a malevolent force now, but, you know, switch it back to our side. Re-subvert it back to our side. No. Done with that. We can make whole new organisations, perhaps, to do that sort of thing. There's whole other types of media organs for that. The BBC deserves to be ended in its tracks. That's my opinion. Anyone that's got a criminal record for failing to pay the TV licence, that's all rescinded. That's a thing now. Your record's clean again. I'm around insisting people pay loads of money. What is it, 170, 180 quid or whatever? I don't pay my TV licence. I won't. Not a penny. Not a penny to that cabal. Well, if you look at the rate of paedophilia in the normal population, and the rate at which it occurs within the BBC, this is a filthy, disgusting, subversive thing. The BBC. End it. I would end it. It's restore policy to revoke the license fee at the very least. Good. Good. They are filth, a blight, a cancer on our country, the BBC. That's my opinion. Have I gone too far? Have I said too much? Pigdog 5150, two from you. I'll read them in one go. You said Meta. Then you put Suck. You mean Zuck. Meta stroke Zuck. Shouldn't be allowed to settle out of court. They are evading jail and harsher sentences for the harms and death they know they were going and did cause. Disgraceful. Yeah, I agree with that. Agree with that sentiment. Yeah. And the second one you put, I'm just a looking at the skies because it's getting me higher, forest. Getting me higher, forget the hearse because I'll never die. Oh, what's that song? Oh, it's Back in Black, isn't it? AC/DC again, right? Forget the hearse because I'll never die. I got nine lives, cat's eyes. And then you put a bus in every one of them and running wild. Is that the lyrics? Is that the next line? Okay. You've then put a guitar and drums and music emoji things, icons. AC/DC, isn't it? Yeah, great song. Okay. Fortean Barber says, morning, mate. All right. Yeah, I'm all right. I hope you are. You put if, capital if. If you art on going away, if I'm going away, or being ill for a bit, it has to be the tubba and tub. That said, if Brother Stelios came on, maybe he could get that Greek weather girl on. Have a great day. I think all the presenters at Low Seaters could do a bow show. Big Harry even. They're totally all capable of sitting here and monologuing for an hour and a half. Yeah. But Dan Tubb, that one time, was it Makerfield? Because of Makerfield? It must have been. Dan Tubb did that one. He cleverly disguised himself as me. Very, very professional disguise job he did there. It was almost indistinguishable from me, wasn't it? When Dan Tubb puts that bald cap on. If he stood directly in front of me and started mirroring my movements, you wouldn't know which one was the real me. I wouldn't know. I'd be confused. Wait, am I looking in a mirror? What's going on? Is this a doppelganger? Okay, and the last rumble rant here from Fallen Firebird says, good day, Bohamid. Krakatoa gets all the girls, but Tambora in 1815 was more powerful and had the more famous effects in Europe, with 1816 being the year without a summer, depicted in many paintings. Yeah, good point. Okay, good point. I didn't know if it was actually more powerful than Krakatoa, but you may well be right, yeah. That was the one where people like, I think Percy Shelley, Red Shelley, and like Lord Byron wrote about it. Like there's quite a lot of accounts, people saying there's just no summer this year because of that. Yeah, was that one even bigger? You may well be right, you may well be right. I know that was a gigantic one. Truly gigantic. Yeah. Well pointed out. Good fedora tip there. Good actually. That was a good one. I like it. A quality fedora tipping actually moment are good. I like them. Anything. All right. That's the last one. Let's look at our super chats, our YouTube super chats. If you don't mind, Harry. Can you make it so? Engage. There they are. Okay. Brilliant. There's about a dozen or so. A few big ones as well. A few big ones. People feeling generous today. Okay. CG Mam 8923 for a generous amount of money says, Firas keeps talking about China. India is second biggest foreign investor in UK, three times more than China. Indian firms turnover is £105 billion. Twice our defence budget. Indians are building one of Europe's largest battery plants in Somerset. Oh, so, because I know you, CG Mam, wanted Firas to, load seaters, but Firas, it's really Firas's wheelhouse first and foremost, talk about India, and I said to him, didn't I, would you? And he said yes. But then as he just pivoted onto China? I'll have a word with him. No, I will, I'll say. Look, have you done a thing specifically about India yet? I will do that. I will honestly say that next time he's in the office. He's not actually in the office 5 days a week. Most of us are, but not all of us are. Next time I see him, I'll definitely say that. I'll definitely remind him. Yeah, because when I spoke to him before about it, he was completely receptive to the idea. He was like, yeah, no, it's a good idea. It's true. It's correct. It's a correct take to notice all of this and be concerned about it. Yeah. Okay, 3, 2, 1, back in the room. look into my eyes, not around the eyes, not around the eyes, look into my eyes. 3, 2, 1, you're back in the room. 3, 2, 1, back in the room, that's what they've called themselves, says, morning, Mr. Selector, hey, it'll be proper bowl. Bow Selector. Morning, Mr. Selector, is there room in the tower for Backdoor Burnham and them? What, the tower, the Tower of London? Yeah, there's room. Yeah, we'll find room. Yeah. Ferry them through Traitor's Gate. Lock them up in the tower for a while. Then to Tower Green. Traitors. All right. Erwin Romulus says, again for a generous amount, says, when we hit 1 year of the Bow Show, how about a small-scale live event stroke meetup? Wouldn't rule it out. We could play for right. What's that? HIGNFY. What does that mean? What does that stand for? Oh, anyway, and hand out awards for most frustrating headline cadence, and/or most retarded leaping logic, etc. Erwin Romulus, thank you there. Thank you for that. I'm definitely, whatever happens on the 1 year anniversary, and if I do it for multiple years, every anniversary, so like the 5th of January, I believe, I recall, the first one, 5th of January next year, I'll definitely do something to mark it, whether it's just some sort of extra bumper show or something. I don't know about a live event, but, well, I'm not going to do a live event. It wouldn't work. 8 a.m., almost certainly not. Definitely do something to mark it. Yeah. All right. Next one. Car Boot Bounty says, hi, Bo. Many thanks for the Car Boot Bounty shout out. It's all right. Yeah, my pleasure. I've only been to a handful of car boots in my time, but just like going antiquing, really. There's quite a lot of things to rummage around through, and you may find something really brilliant. For hardly any money. You might do. Car Boot Bounty. Again, that's Car Boot Bounty. Okay, Mr. Dickie Bingo says, me and the boys in Poland late September, join us. Ooh. Is that a reference to 1939, or are you actually, you and some of your male friends are actually going on holiday to Poland? Thanks, Mr. Dickie Bingo. Double A Batteries 2001 says, where do you plan on going on your holidays, Bo? Italy. I'm going to Italy. Shall be going to Italy. Again. Because I haven't been in years. Like 8, 10 years, maybe? Maybe it's as much as 10 years last time I went to Italy. I haven't had a holiday at all for quite a while. Quite a few years. And, there's a few places in Italy I want to go to. Tuscany. Like some relatively obscure medieval walled towns in Tuscany. And I'll have a day or two in Rome, quite possibly, as well. There you go. Ninja Noodle 0944 says, does Britain have its own Gitmo? No. No. Like Guantanamo Bay, a big offshore, because Gitmo Bay is in Cuba, isn't it? Like a big offshore military base stroke prison. No. They haven't got any sort of equivalent. No. Okay. The Wandering Grey, for also a generous amount of money, says, just found out I'm directly descended from Charles Grey, 2nd Earl Grey. Prime Minister and namesake of Earl Grey tea. Is there an epox on him by any chance? Not specifically on him. Not specifically on him, but I have talked about him in passing a few times, a couple of times. Did a long form bit of content on epox with Godfrey Bloom. Good old Godders. He's coming back on as well next week. You probably won't see the content until a week or two after that. So in 2 or maybe 3 weeks' time, there'll be another long-form content with me and Godfrey Bloom. Probably going to, we're going to talk about the Boer War. Or the Boer Wars. Anyway, in that, I've talked with Godfrey Bloom before, and the Earl Grey came up, I believe, if I recall. But I haven't got a whole long-form bit just talking about him, no. I will do, though, eventually, because well, I've got my long series that's been running for 5 years, effectively, on and off, talking about all the monarchs. I've finished Henry VIII and I'm up to Edward VI. When I finish that, I plan to go back to Robert Walpole and do the same thing, but for all the prime ministers, starting with Walpole. Maybe even starting with Godolphin even earlier. I don't know. And then, of course, Charles Grey will get one at that point. But that I'm sure that won't be for another couple of years or so, the way I'm going. So, yeah, there you go. That's the answer to that. Little Tesla One says, my Lotus Eaters app isn't working. What's happening, bro? Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's absolutely nothing to do with me. But I can flag it up and will. I couldn't design or build or maintain an app to save my life. But we've got chaps that do. We've actually got devs and things. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a proper operation over at Lotus Eaters. In the Empire building business over here. No, we've got a dev. We've got a dev. Or more than one. I can't remember. I don't know. I really have nothing to do with it. Really. I read my history. And I read the news, and then I come on and talk about it. I don't do anything to do with marketing, thumbnails, much less apps and web dev stuff. But now you've brought it to my attention, I will go and knock some heads together. Metaphorically speaking. I'm not going to assault anyone. No, I'll ask the web dev. I'll say, apparently there's something wrong with the app. Can you sort it out, please? Thanks for bringing it to my attention. Okay, and the last one here, the last one for the day says, for $5, they say, on this day in 2026, I threw Bo a fiver. GW7157 says that. Thank you. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. Okay, that's the show. It's now 17 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, Thursday, the 27th of August in the year of our Lord 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. That you isn't a thing. Appreciate it. Really do appreciate it. You've got impeccable taste. Yeah? Turn up to the Bo Show Live. What more could a boy ask for? Impeccable taste. Well, try and make the best of the day ahead, if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day. Most valuable thing you will ever have by orders of magnitude is your time. Try and make it count. All right, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I don't want to get too preachy about it. But just remember, finite number of days on this earth. Try and make them count if you can for your own sake. All right. Until tomorrow morning then. Take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.